I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 9th, 2025, and what you just heard was the singing of the Internationale to mark the end of another year of indoctrination for university students at a Quebec university. And I want people to understand as we proceed through this video, the problem with Canada principally lies and comes from Ontario, Quebec, where the Chinese communist money has the most influence, and where the people who hold the western part of this country under their thumb extend their corruption all across the land. It always amazes me how hypocrites like the ones you've just seen can gather together in a room and they can sing the Internationale, or they can wear communist iconography, the hammer and sickle, CCCP shirts, celebrate Mao and Che Guevara and Fidel Castro, even though the shadow of communism has killed far more people than Nazism ever did. But you couldn't sing Deutschland über alle without being labeled a Nazi. I couldn't even use the word Blitzkrieg in yesterday's video without somebody chiming in that I was using a Nazi word. If you are among those who labels everybody that espouses views that you don't like as a fascist, and at the same time you celebrate communism, you're a hypocrite, and your hypocrisy dances upon the graves of hundreds of millions. For my American audience, this is Scott Moe. And many Canadians, he is the premier, which is the equivalent of a governor, of Saskatchewan, which is the neighboring province to Alberta. We are the most philosophically aligned with the United States of the provinces in this confederation, and we are the most intrinsically linked to the United States. Our trade doesn't flow east, our trade flows south, but I'm going to let the premier say a few words, and then we're going to talk about the paragraphs that are written between the lines.
Regardless of where you might farm in North America, agriculture demonstrates the very integration of the Canadian and American economies. For example, a farmer might start at his local dealer where he might order a CNH quad track. Well, those are made in Fargo, North Dakota. It's going to fill it with diesel from a refinery in Edmonton or maybe one in from Texas. It's then hooked up to an air drill that might be made in St. Bruce, Saskatchewan. The genetics for the seeds that are being planted are quite likely developed at the Crop Development Center at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. The fertilizer is going to be a mix of maybe potash from Esterhazy, Saskatchewan or Rokenville, Saskatchewan. Phosphorus is quite likely going to be from Tampa, Florida. And nitrogen could be from Enid, Oklahoma or anywhere across the western Canada. Once that crop starts to grow, that very farmer uses a John Deere sprayer that will be built in Des Moines, Iowa, to protect against those pests and diseases. And they'll use crop protection products that are manufactured in the southeastern United States. That very farmer, as he starts his harvest, is going to buy a wind rower from his local dealer, but it's manufactured in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And again, a John Deere combine, again manufactured in East Moline, Illinois. Fuel will come from a refinery in Regina or from Lima, Ohio. That farmer then hauls the crop with a truck that will be built in Denton, Texas, pulling grain trailers that are built in Anaheim, Saskatchewan. And it's off on the road to a processor that might be located in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. You see, our agricultural sector is integrated across our continent. It's linked, and it creates jobs on both sides of the border. And in doing so, we create food security, not only for North Americans, but we export that very food security around the world. So let's focus on what we do well. We provide continental food, energy, and manufacturing security for the residents that live in North America.
Not once does the premier use the word Canada. And eastern part of this country is not shown anywhere in his video. And why is that? Because Alberta and Saskatchewan are treated far better by their southern American neighbors than we are treated by Ottawa, by Ontario, and by Quebec, that literally rob us. They take the money that's produced here, money that is produced via trade with the United States, they take our money, they give nothing back, and with arrogance and a not insignificant amount of hubris, Ottawa in the east rules the west with an iron fist, and holds us down. And they have since the beginning of this country. So I find it very instructive that the flag that is immediately behind Scott Moe is the American flag. He knows where our bread is buttered, and he knows who is taking advantage of us and who is holding us down. So as things proceed, I just want my American friends to keep in mind that philosophically, Western Canada is far closer of a fit. I was speaking to friends back east, and they tell me that everywhere they go in Ontario, rural Ontario, outside of Toronto, everybody's talking about how much they hate Trump. Now, it's not to say that there isn't a significant portion of Ontario's population or Quebec's population who actually understands things, understands where we are as a country, at least on some level, and doesn't hate Trump, but they speak in whispers. They don't dare speak out loudly because they will be verbally and potentially physically assaulted. You have to understand that in Ontario and in Quebec, hatred for Trump runs strong. But in Western Canada, love for Trump and love for America is a much greater force. So in any future arrangements, any future negotiations, any of the problems that we are going to have to sort out, if America intends to deal with the scourge of the cartels and the scourge of the drug problem, you're going to have to contend with Canada. Remember that Western Canada and Eastern Canada are not cut from the same cloth. This is the headline from one of Canada's so-called news websites, one of our biggest ones, CTV News. Things have changed. Minister Champagne says Canada may need West-East pipelines. These people have opposed every single decision that would benefit Western Canada and integrate Eastern and Western Canada together. They have actively opposed and shut down every effort I showed in a previous video, dozens of energy projects that would have strengthened Canada as a whole. They have shut it down, and now they're talking about maybe we need this. So while they have dilly-dallied and while they have held the West down, the West has reached across the border to our American neighbors and derived our daily bread from them in trade because Eastern Canada won't give it to us. We're not a serious country. When you oppose the strengthening of your national fabric through interprovincial trade, you are not a serious country. Serious countries don't have, after government, their biggest GDP contributor be drug trafficking, human trafficking, and money laundering. After government, which a significant portion of government might just be money laundering through legal capacities, illegal trade is our second biggest economy. Maybe it's even our first. Maybe it's our primary economy. And we export it to the world. Australian police say illicit drugs being snuck in via Canada. You note that word snuck in. This is from our state media. Multi-billion dollar CBC, which is state media, they make it sound like it's just somebody being a little mischievous. 83% of the methamphetamine that goes to that is seized in Australia is of Canadian origin. It's sent via liquid, 1,300 liters of the drug in liquid form, and another 400 kilograms of crystal meth was seized. The CBSA announces over 60 methamphetamine seizures bound for export to Australia. Now remember, when it comes to methamphetamine, the lowball estimate is that for every pound seized, 40 pounds get through. This gives you a size of the export market. How many Australians has Canada destroyed because of our loose enforcement practice? 397 kilos of crystal methamphetamines. It's mind-blowing, the numbers. The CBSA makes significant liquid methamphetamine seizure bound, 1,278 liters of liquid methamphetamine in British Columbia bound for export to Australia. Seizure represents approximately 4 million individual doses with an estimated street value of $2 million. Illegal drugs. Canada's growing international market because, this is from 2009, I dug this up from. You need to understand that Canada's history as a narcotics capital of the world and to the world goes back a long way, all of my video work has been pointing to this very conclusion. Long known about problem for the world that Canada has refused to deal with. Exclusive, this from Sam Cooper again. Brilliant book. I haven't read it yet. I did buy it, but I haven't read it yet. How the RCMP, CBSA, and Trudeau government lost U.S. trust in the fentanyl fight. It goes on to detail how American law enforcement no longer trusts Canadian law enforcement with what they know with their intelligence. Further to the deal that was struck with Trudeau and between Trudeau and Trump to put basically American overseers on this side of the border to police our police because they know the corruption is rampant. They know it exists at a state level. And Canada is not just on a short leash. It's like we're stood upon a gangplank. I think our days are numbered because we're such a corrupt nation. And as I highlighted, there's many millions of people in this country who don't want to wake up to the absolutely huge scale of corruption. So while the university-educated lemmings and their fellow uneducated lemmings are gathered together in arenas to watch hockey games, booing paralyzed black women while they sing the national anthem and feel like they're doing something, the Americans are getting busy on far more real things. Designating cartels as terrorists will have huge consequences, say analysts. Not just consequences for Mexico, consequences for Canada. We are very much integral to cartel trade on this continent, as I have been exposing and a few others have been exposing. The reality is the Americans are already flying surveillance flights over Mexico. They have an aircraft carrier parked off Mexico's coast. And why? Because they are tracking the cartels. I would argue they are developing a list of targets. And they will use kinetic force to wipe them out. The cartels will die. Their assets will be seized. And the scourge of drugs on this continent will dry up. In a different way, to a different degree, that change is coming to Canada, whether Mark Carney and the Liberal Party want to maintain the status quo of Canada as a narco state or not. The Americans are not messing around. They're going to do this, and there's no stopping it. Another thing that we should be celebrating, but we're not, is the American administration's dedication to stopping the war in Ukraine. Here's CBC again, the state broadcaster. Ground drones are the next wave of offense in Ukraine's battle with Russia. There's no offense going on behalf of Ukraine. They are losing territory every single day. Military aiming to scale up use of unmanned ground vehicles on the battlefield. Ukraine war becomes testing ground of drones that can evade jamming. Ukrainians in Kherson survived Russia's occupation. Now they're being hunted by drones. So while they're advertising that the Ukrainians are going to be hunting Russians with drones, they're also aghast that the Russians might be using drones back on the Ukrainians. None of this stops the war. This is a celebration of the killing fields that have become Ukraine. This is what they're running with on Sunday. Literally has nothing to do with all the problems that Canada is facing. You should be hearing more about the U.S. position, re-Canada, drugs, money laundering, the border. You should be hearing more about the fact that Trudeau has made a bunch of commitments he can't possibly keep. You should be hearing more about reality. CBC is not in the business of telling you reality. You should be hearing that Trump says he has spoken to Putin about Ukraine. Nowhere that I've seen, anyway, in that quick clip was it mentioned. It wasn't front page news. Trump claims he has spoken to Putin about Ukraine. They're deeply committed to ending the war. Communication between the United States and Russia is essential to the world's survival. I don't even know why I have to talk about this. Going to war with Russia kills us all. Not accepting their right to exist and that they have a sphere of influence leads to nuclear Armageddon for everybody. Why does the CBC never tell you that side of the story? Why are there no peace advocates? Not just in our media, but also in our parliament, whether it's the Liberals or the NDP or the Conservative Party of Canada. Their support has only ever been for unlimited war and shipping more and more money and arms over to Ukraine denuding our military and denuding our treasury so that the Ukrainians, publicly acknowledged, can just launder money back into their own pockets. It's disgusting. Russia's foreign spy agency claims that NATO wants to depose Zelensky through new elections. While our media is flying cover, this is the reality. Zelensky can't win an election. That's why he canceled the elections. The war is deeply unpopular in Ukraine. They're sick and tired of the killing. I do recall a time, it doesn't seem that long ago, that the left opposed war, that the left opposed corporatocracy, that the left opposed oligarchs. Now they embrace them. Look at the push for Mark Carney, and look at how it is working when it comes to the electorate, especially in the middle of Canada. Look at this. If a federal election were held today, which party would you vote for? The swing back to the Liberals is being charted, and some of it is mythical, but there is an actual measurable swing back towards the Liberal Party under a committed oligarch whose name is on our money, who has run central banks and is literally the kingpin globalist. I remember a left that opposed globalism, and I hope that left comes back. I hope the left wakes up and starts uniting around a vision that actually is a legitimate opposition to the right. Because what we have right now is just a bunch of reactionaries. We have a bunch of activists that have taken over and usurped the entire left. Anyway, you might be able to tell that I'm a little burnt out. I'm a little tired. It's been a really busy 2.5 weeks, and it's not just making the videos. It is responding to the thousands of comments, literally thousands of comments. I try to keep up with all of you. It takes an enormous amount of time, and I'm tired. So this is going to be it for today. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you value my work, please support it via the website. I appreciate all of you who will and do. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.